Susan Sarandon.
They're not the capitalist class. Like, they are still workers. They're very high-paid workers, I'm sure. Some of them have also become entrepreneurs. That's, like, the thing now. You can't just be a businessman. You gotta be a businessman. But, like, I'm sure plenty of them still have this, like, working-class sentiment where they do believe in these things. And then there's others who are like, oh, well, you know, let's not get too crazy, guys, because if we have too much self-activity on the part of the working class, they might also start talking about inequality. They might draw the connection between the very existence of billionaires and the existence of people at the bottom, and, I don't know, do something that's going to raise my taxes.
They might even question capitalism.
They might even question capitalism itself.
Which maybe is a good segue to talk, finally, about Bernie Sanders announcing his bid for
the
nomination as the Democratic candidate for the presidency.
Indeed. Well, oh yeah, okay, so I was going to segue by talking about how we're at the point now in the cycle of labor bureaucracy where major unions like the AFT and organizations like AFL-CIO did not even endorse the most pro-labor candidate for president that we've had in a super long time. And I, of course, am talking about our queen, Kamala Harris. Just kidding. It's Bernie.
Yeah, I think they fucked up in 2016, man. I mean...
But even then, isn't that also structural? Because I think a lot of unions, they made a calculation, which is that, you know, they thought that Hillary was going to win.
Yes.
And if they endorsed Bernie and Hillary won, she would do some vindictive shit to them.
Yes.
Just like Cuomo, and, you know, it's the same calculation as the unions that endorsed Cuomo over Nixon in New York, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then if Bernie won, he, whether or not they endorsed him, he probably wasn't going to do vindictive
He's captive because he is a socialist, so he would, of course, support labor regardless.
Yeah,
right?
So on the one hand, on the one hand, like, yes, they did fuck up. On the other hand, I don't know if I can really blame them for something that's a structural problem.
But look at what a good teaching opportunity and the fact that she fucking lost. You know, like, hey, if we're like learning lessons, you know, like everybody who endorsed Hillary in 2016, labor people, unions, and anybody on the left who thought that they were gonna endorse Hillary because she was the safe choice, like, yo, she lost. So next time, go for what you want, you know?
Might as well.
So much for that electability thing.
How organized labor going to endorse. One person is endorsing a $15 minimum wage and one person endorsing a $12 minimum wage, and you're going to go for the lower one, right?
My union, literally, the day that she announced, endorsed her. No concessions, nothing. Just straight up on that day, they endorsed
her. That's so thirsty.
And you know what the rank and file, my fellow, you know, tradesmen and women felt about it? They felt fucked by it. They're like, nobody asked us. They weren't Clinton fans. If anything, like, most of, especially the white ones, but not just the white ones, were kind of, like, intrigued by this right populism of Donald Trump. And they did not like Hillary. They remembered NAFTA.
Yeah.
They remembered what happened in the 90s. And if anything, their view of Bernie Sanders was ambiguous to positive.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they saw the union come out right off the gate for Hillary, they're like, what do I have in common with my own union?
It's almost like we need independent working class institutions that are not wedded to capitalist political parties.
And everybody likes to wave around West Virginia as this totem. Like, Bernie won every county in West Virginia. Every county in West Virginia went for Bernie, you know? So, like, I don't know what it's going to take for the Democratic Party. See, and hopefully the Democratic Party is getting the message now more than they got in 2016. But, like, people don't like the establishment, you know? Like, West Virginia went heavily for Trump, and then Bernie won every county in the Democratic primary. Like, that's telling you something right there, you know?
Well, I'm happy to hear you say that, because I have written some critical takes from you where you say maybe you don't want Bernie to run for president this time around. Do you still feel that way now that he's announced?
Well, it's a little late. It's a little late now. I mean, I did write a thing saying Bernie shouldn't run. And by the way, I got more hate mail about that than almost anything I've written in years. But my reasons, basically I had two reasons why I say that. And I love Bernie Sanders' politics. A, he's old. He's fucking old. He's going to be 80 years old in the first term. Like, he's very old. Like, it's not ideal. Okay, fair point. It's not
What's the worst that could happen? He's gonna die, and then his cool vice president gets to be president?
My ideal candidate wouldn't be Aiden. The second thing, and I wrote this before he announced, obviously, what I said was Bernie Sanders could get behind a somewhat younger candidate, whoever shares his values. He could get together with Elizabeth Warren, for example. He can have a great influence on her campaign. He could say, look, I'm going to endorse you. I'm going to back you. I'm going to get people to vote for you. And this is what I want for that. You know, I want these people in your cabinet. I want this in your platform.
Forced concessions, basically.
He could be a power broker. And he, I think, by throwing his support behind somebody like that, could ensure that they win the primary. Oh. And now what I'm scared of is that Warren and Bernie are going to split the lefty vote, and then, you know, a centrist is going
to
win.
I don't think you have too much to worry about from Elizabeth Warren on any front, really.
I think she's a very weak candidate.
I think she's going to do horribly against Trump if she's the nominee.
I think Trump's going to drink her milkshake.
No, he has been. Like, remember when the first thing happened, right? And she played in his hands with the old DNA test.
And, you know, my colleague,
Michael Brooks, to give him some credit, brought up a fair point, which was, you know, yeah, maybe it bodes poorly for the future, or maybe she's going to learn from it and not do it again. And unfortunately, from looking at all of the posts on her website where she feels the need to debunk every single right-wing rumor that I've quoted about
her. What was the thing about a Sambo doll?
She posted some right-wing blog took, like, some blurry angle photo of some artifact she had in her kitchen, and they're like, Elizabeth Warren has racist Sambo figurines, and she had to, like...
We got the documents.
She had to, like, post a clear picture of her non-racist artifact in her kitchen.
One disclaimer I have to make is that I have no idea who's going to win, so I promised myself after 2016 I would never act like I know who's going to win any election, because I have no fucking idea, right?
Nobody does.
I want to vote for who's good. So, like, but when I look at Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, and I know, you know, I love Bernie, he's great. I look at Warren, and I ask myself, if either of them were president, what is the substantive difference in the policies that are going to come out of either of them as president? And I mean, whether Elizabeth Warren says she's a capitalist and Bernie says he's a democratic socialist, if they get in the White House, what are they going to do? You know, they're going to try to raise taxes on the rich. They're going to try to regulate Wall Street. They're going to try to put in place pro-labor reforms. Like, and I'm, like, genuinely interested in this. I'm not trolling anybody, but I want to know from Bernie and Warren backers, like, tell me the substantive difference between these two if they get elected. Because otherwise, I don't know why everybody's so mad about the difference between them.
Hamilton, I went on Donut Twitter. This is not advisable for anybody. I went on, like, Never Bernie Twitter last night, and my God, people are mad.
Yeah,
on both sides. People are so
mad.
It's funny, like...
Roses versus donuts.
Whenever I talk to my fellow leftists about Bernie...
Hello,
like,
fellow leftists.
How do you do, fellow leftists? I'm like, no, you know, these are all good things, but let's not be too thirsty. Let's not put all our eggs in one basket. Let's not just become completely subsumed by the Democratic Party or this guy who's running in the Democratic Party. Like, we need to keep on building institutions that move us outside of electoral politics, which is, I know, is something you agree with, and then, you know, push him from the left, like, even if we do get involved, and I'm sure, like, it's probably going to happen that the DSA gets involved on some level with the Bernie campaign via some kind of national endorsement. What that's going to look like, I'm not sure, but, you know, I'm the one who's always saying we need to push from the inside, we need to hold him accountable for his vote on theft of FAFSA, stuff like BDS, imperialism, like all of that shit affects communities that we have been actively organizing with. And if we don't even try, that's like a pretty big slap in the face to those communities, as well as just like a bad socialist tactic.
But his tweet yesterday about letting the politicized CIA, U.S. aid, shipment into Venezuela. I think he might have shored up the Gusano vote in South Florida. So that's important.
He's really gonna get all those Cuban wealthy people to stop voting for Republicans for the first time in their life. it.
Oh, that tweet was so bad, by the way. Did you guys read that tweet about...
it was a bad tweet. Really so, bad. Like, okay. So, on the one hand, I'm always like, we need to have some criticism in our support, guys. And then I go on liberal Twitter, and I'm sure this is going to happen, too, when I go back to work at the Majority Report tomorrow. Oh, yeah, we go back to work tomorrow. But, like, then I go into lib world, and all of the arguments against Bernie are bad, and they're from the right, and then I become the biggest Bernie bro in the world.
Yeah, it's really, like, I mean, I got to always try not to, like, take my cues from Twitter, because there's always people on, you know, when I said Bernie shouldn't run, like, were there people on Twitter telling me to kill myself? Yes. But at the same time, like,
shocking.
Am I going to be the guy who's like, but I have... Bernie Bros are horrible because they're telling me to kill myself. Like, you're not, you don't want to be that guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, so fucking.
You don't
want
to let the bots, the Russian
Twitter
bots,
is
get
Twitter.
You down.
Like, Twitter is crazy, but like, I guess the least cynical thing I can say about this election is this is the first time I can ever remember where I'm like actually looking forward to the campaign to learn what the candidates have to say.
Yeah.
Like, not cynically, like, I want to know, like, Bernie and Warren, I want to know the substantive difference between them so I can make an informed choice as a citizen.
Well, that's a very beautiful sentiment, and one that we do not always have the luxury of having, right? Because, like, if I saw some kind of definitive polling that, like, some shitty centrist was going to do a lot better against Trump than Bernie, I might have second thoughts. I might have to consider and weigh my options seriously, but that doesn't exist. Like, everybody has a chance against Trump.
Yeah.
I think there are plenty of arguments to be made that Bernie stands the best chance of beating
even
Trump.
Even Bay Area cops. You know, even cops from the Bay Area.
Yeah, even cops.
Yeah.
Especially cops. Are you kidding me? No, Kamala Harris is the one to beat. I've been saying this for a long time. I think she's the one that the centrist establishment is going to unite behind. She's the strongest establishment candidate.
She smokes weed every day.
It's going to be very clarifying.
She does the Fortnite floss dance on Ellen. She's
like
everything.
It's going to be, it would be one thing if they had like another Obama where they could say like,
yeah.
Oh, here's a woke neoliberal and this is how you do anti-racism and there's someone who supports policies that, you know, are kind of racist in their effects and their outcomes in terms of economic violence, but not maybe directly violent. But no, you have a literal representative of the carceral state at a time when, you know, poor people and black people are being gunned down in the streets by the cops. We're seeing the effects of mass incarceration. So, like, I would love to see how they're going to paint a woke face on that.
Listen, in this era where we've moved from sagging pants to skinny jeans, you know, I don't think that her telling me to pull my pants up is going to really have a huge effect nationally.
I mean, she can try. We'll see. We'll see how up with the times she is, but what I was going to say about Bernie versus Warren is I would like to believe that it doesn't matter who it is, like, as long as they have the right policies and ideas, but I know how the fuck politics work in this country. I know how stupid they are. I know that a lot of the time it's not just about policies, it's about personalities. Have I heard of this person before? Do I trust this person? Which is, like, on some level valid, right? Because any politician can become corrupted. There are going to be powerful forces pulling them to the right and to the establishment position once they get in there. So, like, at the very least, I would like to start out with the person who has been banging on about this shit for the longest, because maybe they'll be able to hold out the longest. I don't know. I think Bernie has already shown some signs of bending when it comes to U.S. imperialism. He had some bad tweets about Venezuela that maybe Sean's going to talk about in a second.
I'm not a Maduro supporter, but like this neoliberal quasi-fascist Guaido is not the solution for the problems of the working class of Venezuela. And for Bernie Sanders to go and take the line that, like, this $20 million worth of, like, medicine and food compared to the $30 million a day of sanctions the U.S. government is putting on it, it's complete fucking bullshit. And fuck him for falling for that.
And if you look at videos of him in the 80s, like, you know he knows better than that. Or maybe he really has softened on it. I don't know. In terms of the differences, like the material differences between Bernie and Warren, if you look at, I mean, some of their stances on foreign policy are very different. I think that's one area where Bernie's going to provide the only kind of dissenting voice from this sort of bipartisan consensus on, you know, American exceptionalism and our role as the cop of the world and all that.
Except in Venezuela.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Means testing.
I don't know if people know Elizabeth Warren's foreign policy yet. I mean, I do think there's a lot of stuff to still be said. It's pretty early on, and, like, I can't even articulate Elizabeth Warren's foreign policy, and I'm, like, a reporter who covers policy.
I mean, any of the other candidates, they have a foreign policy?
No,
stance?
I mean, and it's
so,
you know,
early, right?
But to be fair,
I
we're, like, two fucking years out from the election.
Yeah, no.
Foreign policy. What happens? They let the experts do it. They let the, you know, the intelligence community, or what, I don't want to call that a community. It's not my community, but or the, you know, the kind of bipartisan neocon foreign policy, whatever you want to call it, that's existed for many decades now.
I mean, it's true that Bernie has a ideology that is real, and he's had it for decades, and you know he's going to have it. What I will say for Warren is that on the issue of inequality, which to me is the biggest underlying issue in America that really drives a lot of the other social and political problems in America, are driven by the inequality crisis that's been going on since Reagan. On that issue, I think Elizabeth Warren is very good. I think she understands the issue. I think when you talk about, like, a wealth tax in America, like, that's a big fucking deal. Like, if we had a wealth tax on billionaires, like, that's a very, very big deal, and that's a real structural change that is the kind of big change that can address the inequality crisis that a lot of other people are not talking about. So to me, she's good on that issue, and other issues, I don't know.
Okay, so on that tip, I think you're right that a lot of these policies would look similar on sort of a short-term scale, maybe in terms of outcomes, but I think she's still coming at it from essentially a less liberal perspective, which leaves the door open to things like means testing, like her universal child care plan is a very good one, that also undermines itself from the start by insisting on means testing, which, as we know, never goes well for the working class. It's purely a way to limit access. That was the big thing with the Clintons in the 90s. They wanted to limit access to the welfare rolls without actually lifting anyone out of poverty.
I thought reform was good. Welfare reform was good, right?
Oh, my God. I don't even want to joke about that.
Sorry.
It creates resentment, right, between the people who qualify and the people who just barely don't qualify.
It gets racialized.
It gets totally racialized. I mean, the attacks on the welfare state were incredibly racialized. So I think to bring back the welfare state, we're going to need to do a lot of anti-racist work at the same time. I think that's essential. But they're just coming at these problems from two different directions, right? So, like, to use a metaphor, or universal healthcare is another good example, right? Because if you could get to universal coverage based on single payer, which we know that we can, or based on maybe this patchwork of things that are cobbled together and leave the private insurance industry intact and are very vulnerable to attack, it's like, oh, you could build your house out of stones, maybe it'll last longer, you could build your house out of sticks or, like, straw or something that's just going to get set on fire. Like, the components are not the same. And, like, the idea of having stuff be universal, I think, is a very democratic, social democratic idea that Bernie brings to the table that nobody else has. But I think on the most basic level, from a socialist perspective, or even the perspective of somebody who just, their horizon is social democracy, right? Because that would be a fuck of a lot better than what we have now. And I think we need to unite with our Stockdown comrades right now in order to get the things that everybody needs.
Sam Cedar, let's unite.
Yes, well, we're sitting in his office right now. I'm being very conciliatory. I've had a week off. I've had a lot of rest. Sure, tomorrow I'll go back to telling him that he killed Rosa. It's fine. But for now, even the way that we get to those social democratic reforms is we have to build a militant class struggle movement And Bernie understands that.
Yeah.
And the stuff that he's asking for, hopefully, will empower people to demand more. And, you know, rhetorically, this is some stuff that Obama said, too. But, like, I think Bernie really means it, and he really understands it.
I think Bernie does understand it, and, you know, that's also why I argued for him to back somebody else.
Because the important question is not what happens to Bernie Sanders. The important question is, how do we get these reforms in place? How do we get these policies in place? How do we help people the way that we're talking about? You know what I'm saying? And is it Bernie Sanders running for president? Maybe. Like, I'm willing to be proven wrong. If Bernie Sanders gets elected president, I would be very fucking happy, even though I said he shouldn't run. Like, if Bernie Sanders gets sworn in as president, I will be partying that day, you know? I just have a little bit of sense of foreboding for the reasons I said, you know?
May I weigh in?
Yes, please.
I am an electoral skeptic.
As we all are here at the Antifada, that is the mindset.
It's the mindset. I will admit I voted for Obama in 2008 because it was important, I think, to vote for the first black president. That was symbolic, and I have no regrets about that. My vote before that was for Ralph Nader in 2000, although in New York State,
I
mind
also
you.
Voted for Nader in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's still mad at me.
Wow, you upped the ante. I love that. That's the mindset. Hell yeah. Wow, let's talk about that after the show. We'll have some drinks. Well done. You got Gore. Good. So
get out. That's a bridge too far.
Don't let Sam Cedar listen to this show, this episode. But yeah, no. This kind of brings the discussion back, I think, to some of the basic, you know, core principles we were talking about when it comes to unionism, which is that changing things from the top down seems like it's been a failure for at least a long time, if not forever. When you've seen the union movement get strong, it's because of militant, self-organized, working-class self-activity that then becomes, you know, an institution moving forward. I think that Bernie Sanders, as much as I find his political horizon to be insufficient, and let me put a stronger point on that, I do find his political horizon to be insufficient, and I don't think that you can elect your way into socialism, whatever that means. That S word is very, can mean a lot of things to a lot of people.
It's not our revolution, babe. It's their revolution.
And so there's two levels to look at this. And the first level is like the very practical day-to-day level. And the reason why our Maoist friend, who we won't name, in a Midwestern state, said that he would vote for Hillary Clinton in a swing state, you know, against...
Red for Red Left.
Okay. So you doxed him. That's fine.
Sorry.
But
it's not a secret. He talked about it on our show, I'm pretty sure.
Well, people might have forgot.
Right,
so,
whatever.
No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, like there's the very practical thing, which is, like, do no harm, right? Like, the Hippocratic Oath. And Bernie Sanders, obviously, would be a million times better than anybody else, just as Kamala Harris would be better than Donald Trump. And so on that particular terrain, like, I will agree that Warren, Sanders, Harris, it's better, okay? Like, less chance of nuclear war, better for the climate apocalypse, marginally better.
Fewer kids in cages.
Yes, all wonderful things.
Even a few fewer kids in cages is better than more kids in
even
cages.
One less kid in a
yes.
cage is totally fine. Not totally fine, totally awesome. It's a good thing, I swear. I believe that. Let me be clear. There's another aspect to it which I think, again, squares this circle, which is that Bernie Sanders did a spoken word album, I think, about, like, Eugene Debs or some weird shit. Like, he's been down to you know, Sandinista Nicaragua. He did his honeymoon in the USSR. I think.
Looks like he had a really fun time.
Hell yeah. Take your shirt off and sing some fucking union songs. That's my idea of a party. Now, he's also a practical person, so, like, perhaps the you know, radicalism of his youth has been somewhat tempered, as we saw in that Venezuela tweet that he had. But I do believe, based on his 40 years of saying pretty much the same thing about the millionaire and the billionaire class, that he understands the world in a class struggle way more so than a technocrat like Elizabeth Warren does. And that said, you have to look at the kind of power and soapbox that he would have as the President of the United States. If he were to get into power, especially given how crazy things have been with executive orders and like aconstitutional things that Trump has done with his emergency declaration about the wall, I think that the wager for leftists, for real left, anti-capitalists, is that if you were to have Bernie Sanders as a president, he would at least get out of the way of the kind of militant grassroots mass organizing that we need, that we're talking about on the show, by the working class in all its diversity, right?
But we're already seeing it in Mexico with AMLO.
Exactly. AMLO gets in, and people, yeah. AMLO didn't create it.
He didn't have to do anything.
Right, but people were ready.
All he had to do was not send in the troops.
People were ready, and the entire conversation we've had today is about how pregnant this country and this world is for a revival of the sort of mass militant class struggle politics and action that are necessary to actually change the world. So I believe that if Bernie gets in, he will at least stand out of the way, if not encouraged through executive orders or through packing the NLRB, for example, right?
Pack the Supreme Court
while you're at it. He will at least allow those forces in society, the only forces that can ever make a real change, which is, again, the working class in motion, to do its thing. And I think whether you're a millennial or whether you're Gen X or whether you're older, right, I think a lot of people are sick and tired of being sick and tired in this country. Trump is a reflection of that, but it was a bullshit reflection of that. I think that Bernie Sanders, as a leftist, you know, this is me speaking here, his presidency, if he were to get it, has the possibility that it will open the doors not to him voting our ways into social democracy, but to open the doors for all these militant class struggle activities that we've been talking about, which are indeed the only way to create change in the future. So vote for him if you choose to. If you want to take the time, you know, the few hours or the day and a half, depending on what state you vote in, you know, in order to vote for him, if you want to canvass or donate money for him, whatever it is that you choose to do, I mean, I do think that it's worth a little bit of time thinking about what this country would look like if the laws, the regulations, and the ideological structures of this country were such that people were given license, like AMLO in Mexico, to start to take things into their own hands. And I think that Bernie Sanders would not stop that. I think Elizabeth Warren, as a technocrat, would much rather have a wealth tax, similar to the Sweezy argument that I made earlier. He was happy to have the SEIU Latino workers, janitorial workers, be militant on the streets, but way less happy inside of the system. I think the same thing holds. I think Elizabeth Warren would be very happy to have mass protests for a wealth tax, but when it comes to actual execution and use of power, she might be a little bit more afraid than somebody like Bernie Sanders to let us run the fucking streets. We want to run the streets, folks.
And she's also beholden to the norms of the Democratic Party in a way that Bernie Sanders is not. Like, all the norms of, like, civility, reaching across the aisle. We couldn't pack the court because that would, you know, impugn its credibility as an institution. Like, I don't think Bernie is as vulnerable to that stuff. I mean, he is running as a Democrat.
He's not even a Democrat.
He's not even a Democrat. But, like, the antagonistic relationship with the Democratic Party certainly speaks well of him and hopefully will help
and it will help in the general election because people hate Republicans and Democrats.
That's the other thing. No matter, like, the most milquetoast Democrat is going to get called a fucking socialist, all right? So no matter how much you tax them, you're not going to avoid that. You might as well give them something at least a little bit closer to the real thing. And I don't know. What do you think?
I think you made a very eloquent argument for Bernie, actually. And I think that did give me something to think about because, I mean, I don't think as poorly of Elizabeth Warren as some people on the left do. I don't think she's a stooge for centrist Democrats. And
She's the only one who, as my colleague said, she's the only one who is sincere in her reformism.
She is, to some extent, a technocrat. You're right. I mean, she was a bankruptcy professor at Harvard. Yeah. Like, she's a technocrat by definition, almost. And, I mean,
it also kind of goes to the point that, you know, I was thinking about this today because I was watching one of the Sunday shows and they were talking about, like, Republicans are accusing Democrats of socialism, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, we're going to have 2 years of people talking about socialism and are the Democrats socialists, and it's, like, completely meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. Nobody's defining the terms of it. And, you know, as you touched on, you know, real socialism is sort of an action. It's about collective action. It's not something we're going to elect our way to. So I do believe that's true. And so, you know, I think maybe that's a fair argument for Bernie. I'll give that some thought.
I'm not here to convince anybody. I'm here to give my opinion. I do think that, like, you understand what I mean, where, like, these two things we were talking about, unionism and politics,
yes,
where there's kind of a similar principle there, right? Which,
yes,
is the leadership versus the rank and file thing.
I understand people's fatigue with, oh, another old white man wants to be president. And, like, all
are
these,
Jews really white, though?
Well, you know, sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no, depending on, like, who is being oppressed that day. Is someone criticizing AIPAC, then, you know, Jews are an oppressed minority, and you're being anti-Semitic if you criticize AIPAC. Is somebody, I don't know, trying to run as a socialist, then, you know, all of a sudden Jews are white. It's a bit of a gray area. I recognize we haven't really resolved these issues yet. But what I was going to say, as, you know, as a feminist, someone who does think representation matters somewhat, all things being equal, of course I would rather have a woman. Like, it's ridiculous that we haven't had a woman president yet. Like, what the fuck is wrong with us?
I mean, let's all be honest. Like, AOC is, what, 29? Would we not all be hyped if she, like, just jumped in, you know?
Of course,
like,
we would.
She's everything that Bernie has, but she's also,
but she's,
like,
not old enough, and there are structural reasons for that, because the generations in between Bernie and AOC, at least the political class, I'm sorry, they're garbage. They're done. Like, the baby boomers.
Boomers and Gen Z, you're canceled.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of grew up in this old economy where they at least think they have to, like, make some feints to labor. It's, like, still this muscle memory that they have or whatever. Gen X just grew up in total neoliberal hell world. Like, there's no saving any of those people, I don't think.
Reality Bites was a great movie, though.
It was. For structural reasons. I mean, don't talk to me about Jimmy Garofalo. It's kind of a sore subject. But there are structural reasons why there's nobody in the middle. So, like, he's the only... There's really nobody else. Like, I wish that there was. I really, really do. Because, like, yes, I would much prefer a woman of color, anyone but another old white guy. But there really, I don't think there's anyone else right now who could have a viable presidential campaign who would be willing to carry the same message of class politics into the mainstream conversation.
I mean, there's a lot of issues facing America, but in my mind, the biggest thing the next president can do, if the next president is not Donald Trump, is to turn around what's been happening since Ronald Reagan, which is the rich getting all the fucking money. Like, that is the story of America for the past 40 years. The upper class has been siphoning off an increasing portion of the wealth of this country, and everybody else gets left behind. And that is driving a lot of the disillusion. You know, what gave us Donald Trump is people hating the situation of America, and that's that dynamic. So, like, you know, I guess maybe I have both standards, but, like, I would be satisfied by any president who could turn around the growth of inequality that you can see on a chart, you know, famous charts, like, that's just took off in the mid-70s to the early 80s and has been growing ever since, the wealth of the 1% versus everybody else, like, anybody who can turn that around, like, I'll be happy.
Well, listen, and
not,
to close it out on this,
okay,
like,
I guess I don't want to open up another can of worms.
No,
let's
go.
Yeah. We cannot do that at the expense of people who live in other countries than ours.
Absolutely not. Agreed.
And that is why we need someone who can make the connection between imperialism abroad and, you know, capitalism here.
100%, and that's why Bernie rightfully got ratioed to fuck. Give me an R, give me an A, give me a T. Huge ratio on Bernie when he did that Venezuela thing. But I think what I'll say is that you say it's like a low bar, right, to have somebody to change that graph around. And while Jamie and I might be, you know, more communistic or whatever than, you know, you or a lot of our listeners right now, that bar is not even that low, because if you look at the last two Democratic presidents who were Clinton and Obama, they actually made that shit worse.
Right.
So worst case scenario, like if we were to get one of these more like, I don't know, social democratically minded candidates in there in office, like it couldn't do harm. Like it's fine. You know, like I think that ultimately our horizon will grow as we learn more. Learning lessons, like history constantly teaches us lessons, and our present does as well. So I just think we got 20 fucking months. Like let this thing ride out. Whatever amount of effort and time and money you want to spend into whatever particular candidate or no candidate at all, that's fine.
No,
it's fine.
More president.
It's fine. If you want to vote no more presidents in 2020, it's fine.
No,
spend
president.
All your time unionizing the workplace and let the rest take care.
And that might even be better.
Yeah.
And let's close it on that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hamilton.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good
time. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
I was busy underwater, seeing how long I could hold my breath. A drowning flower caught my eye, and I had to come on up for air. Just because you're older than me doesn't mean you have to be so condescending. I still see the same things that you see. I'm a little shady on my history. Listening, but you're